Again, good morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to the New Testament book of 1 Peter. As a matter of habit, I kept talking about the story of redemption. We were in our Easter series, 4 weeks, looking at the story of redemption. And today, we're back talking about the journey of our faith. We are sojourners. The Holy Word describes our lives as one comprehensive journey. And that's the way we view things, much like Israel was a journey, get back to the promised land. The story of our lives is really a big test of our faith to get back to the promised land. We're in 1 Peter chapter 1. We are in the third segment of Be Holy. The title of the message is Be Holy, Part 3. I didn't think very hard on that title, by the way. I just kept it rather simple. Prior to today's message, the Scripture tells us to be holy as God is holy. That is the basis for holiness. He is. The basics of holiness begins in our mind. And last time we were in 1 Peter, we talked about how to be holy, how to treasure the Lord Jesus, how to do some very fine practical things to achieve holiness. And today, we will continue that in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start in verse number 22. So if you want to follow along, if you are able, we'll have the scripture up on the screens out of the ESV translation. 1 Peter chapter 1, we want to start in verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. In this word is the good news that was preached to you. We are to be holy as He, God, is holy. Through this chapter, we've covered the basics of holiness. We've covered the how to be holy. But today, if I could give a unifying principle to these verses, is this: stay on track in your holiness. Stay on track. This week, I read this story. A retired nurse from Tennessee, Geraldine, they called her Jerry Largay, she set off on April 23rd, 2013 with her friend Jane Lee to walk a long stretch of the famous trail, starting in Harper's Ferry, West Virginia, and headed north to the terminus in northern Maine. She adopted the name, the trail name, as hikers do, Inchworm, because of her pace, which was very slow. And that pace took her nearly 1,000 miles from West Virginia, where she and her friend started off on this Appalachian Trail. Her husband of 42 years, George, drove ahead and would meet them at prearranged spots with hiking supplies, with food and resources, and at times took them to hotels where they could shower and spend the night indoors. Now, on June 30th, Miss Lee had to leave the trail because of a family emergency, but Geraldine, continued. She continued to make progress, and by July 21st, she had reached the Poplar Ridge Lean-To in western Maine. She was less than 200 miles from the end of the trail. Her plan was to hike to the Spalding Lean-To, about 9 miles away, spend the night, then hike 13 miles to Route 27 crossing, and there she would meet her husband. A fellow hiker took a picture of Jerry about 6:30 a.m. on July 22nd as she was about to set off on the trail. It was the last time anyone saw her alive. Investigators say that her cell phone revealed she got lost in the dense woods after she left the trail to use the bathroom. And right away, she texted her husband for help. She said, "I'm in trouble. I got off the trail, now lost. Send for emergency personnel." He never got that text, or the others she subsequently sent, because of poor or non-existent cell phone coverage in that area. You see, Miss Largue, Jerry, had left the trail in one of its most rugged sections, with thick underbrush and fir trees packed so tightly they almost seemed to merge. Douglas Dolan, who is a frequent hiker, a volunteer on that section of the trail, he said, "You step off the trail 20 or 50 feet and turn around, it's very difficult to see where the trail was. If you don't know which way the trail was, you could easily walk in circles for hours." This turned into a cold case, which 2 years from that point, her body was found. Not on the trail, but on U.S. Naval property, training grounds for survival. Volunteers combed this area extensively, that and other areas. It is very possible they walked in close proximity to her, but yet they never saw her. In a heartbreaking notion, she was less than 2 miles from the trail. What is significant, she got off track. Just a little bit. She got off track. And sometimes that happens with us as believers. We get off track in regards to our holiness. Now, holiness is separation from sin, the pursuit of God's honor and glory. I want today, through these verses, to encourage you, to help you stay on track, to not get off. And I'm going to give you these 4 points to talk about how to stay on track in holiness. The first is by purifying your souls. It says in the first verse that since you're purifying your souls, or having purified your souls, the way that is read, it doesn't really give us the full details of the original text. It's an active voice. So it's almost something that happened in the past, but is still ongoing. It's almost since you are in the process of purifying your souls. It's not just a one-time deal. It's not you just come to Christ and everything is made right in your life. There are things you keep working on, making yourself better or purer. So the process of purification, it involves removing impurities. So for the believer, we are removing things from our lives that don't help us. This is the process of holiness. You could easily say this is sanctification. The more you walk with Jesus Christ, the more you become like him, the less you become like the world. You're getting rid of stuff that does not matter. So you purify your souls, and Scripture tells us, in regards to obedience of the truth. So if you ask me, "Pastor, how can I purify my soul?" I'll say, "That's a great question. Let me answer that for you. By obeying the truth." It's very simple. How can I get better and more like Christ? Obeying what he tells us. He said, "Pastor, it cannot be that simple." I tell you, it is. Now, there's still some difficulty in the process, but obeying the truth will help purify your souls. So step by step, we obey truth, and in the process, it purifies our souls. In the length of your Christian journey, it's a process. This is not a sprint. This is an endurance race. Little by little, we purify our souls to the obedience of the truth. We become more and more holy, more and more like Christ. If I could describe it in these terms, I try not to use many athletic or sports illustrations, but we always gravitate back to what we know. In the fall of this last year, I coached soccer, which I know nothing about soccer. But I do know that you can't ask athletes to do something they can't physically do. And so with that age group in soccer, we keep it simple. Can you run? Yes, then run. Okay, now run with your head up. See where you're going. And then if we can build on that, then kick the ball with your head up. You keep adding to more and more. I've learned this in youth athletics. The biggest problem are parents. And some of you are like, whew, I'm glad you didn't say grandparents. And I thought, after soccer, I'm not going to coach. And then I coached basketball. And they're like, I'm through coaching. And now I'm coaching baseball with Pastor Aaron. So if you hear like around town, like, hey, there's some pastors who got thrown out of the ball field the other night. It wasn't us. It was another church. And I was reminded of this. You can't expect athletes or students or technicians. You can't expect them to do something they've never done before. And particularly if it's a process to get to that, you can't expect them to do it right. I mean, that's how God views us. He didn't say, well, here, I expect these things of believers, and you're a new believer and you're down here. He didn't expect you to get there yet, because you get there by a process. I was reminded these last 2 weeks with baseball practice, which I don't know a lot about baseball. And so we were getting the guys like, hey, we're going to practice hitting, throwing. You say, Pastor, those are fundamentals. You know what you're doing. Not so fast. We practice hitting, and I said, okay, to a young man, I said, throw those baseballs back to me. I thought, that's simple. And he had these baseballs, and I was expecting a regular throw, like a baseball over-the-shoulder throw. And this is what he did, with sound effects. Bloop, bloop. And I thought, what in the world? I was like, no, 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 throw it to me. And then he, like, a football height, bloop, behind his back. And I was thinking, Pastor Aaron, he's been watching Patrick Mahomes. He's playing football. And I said, no, give me a throw. Man up and throw it. He catapulted it. And Pastor Aaron stepped in and was like, hey, here's how you throw. We think, those are fundamentals. But to a young man who's never played, we're expecting something of him he's never been at. How can you be holy? Purify your souls through obedience to truth. Simple, layer upon layer, you keep building. This is your growth as a Christian. This is a long-term endurance race. You purify yourself with obedience to truth. So you take the things out that don't matter. Remove those things that are not beneficial, that are not part of God's will for your life, and continue to obey the truth. I did not get to hear a lot of Dr. Marshall, the interim pastor, before I arrived here, but I can tell you one of the quotes he's repeated, holiness comes first. It starts here. Everything else oozes out of that. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, if you will, back to verse 22. Having purify your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. After we are purifying our souls, this leads us to point number two, loving one another. Just so you know, textually, grammatically, this is the main point of these verses in the Greek text. Is the dominant clause, if you will. Everything else leads to or flows from point number two, which is loving one another. Which is very odd to me as we talk about holiness, us being holy, is loving one another. Purifying your souls through truth, through obeying the truth, leads us to loving one another. This does not say loving God. That's an understood, that's something we're already doing. But holiness leads us to loving one another. Now, Scripture also tells us this is not obligation, but sincerity. Now, holiness separates us from sin and draws us closer to the heart of God. But in looking at this, what I deduce, as we become more and more holy, the overflow of our holiness branches out to loving one another. So the people that are really, really holy not only love God, they love others. Because I will say, if you have a problem loving others, you don't love God. Personal holiness results in sincere, brotherly love from a pure heart. Now, this is not guilt. This is not obligation. This is love, the deep, abiding love of God. And I believe loving one another is expressed in two ways. The first of which is relationships, the second, service. Let me go back to relationships. That we love, not in theory, but reality. Real relationships where you care for one another. You say, well, Pastor, I've got thousands of friends on social media. Do you now? I mean, real, genuine friends. So if you said, I had a flat tire or my battery is dead on my vehicle, would those thousands of friends come and help you? Probably not. Some may. But think about the real relationships you have. Not in theory, in reality. For us to love one another, we've got to have relationships with people through loving one another. What I have noticed in many churches, perhaps the largest I've ever been at, was we had people that would go sign up for a Bible study and for weeks, be a part of this Bible study. And the next time there's a Bible study, oh, I'm going to go be a part of that Bible study. I'm going to grow in holiness and knowledge. And then I'm going to go to this Bible study and I'm going to grow. But yet, nothing ever happened from that. All they do is go from Bible study to Bible study. And in essence, it's almost like they're worthless to the kingdom. It's like, oh, just feed me, feed me, feed me. But there's no relationships. There's no love. Now, I believe loving one another happens through relationships. And secondly, I believe it happens through service. Service is love in action. Saying you love someone in word is not really valid. You see, I want you to prove your love. If you say, Pastor, I want to reach people with the gospel, then go reach people with the gospel. You say, I love people that don't know Jesus yet, then serve. Go share with them. You see, what happens as we become more and more holy, we can't but help to love one another. We can't help but to have relationships with people. And hear me, we can't but help to serve. If you're too holy to serve, you're not holy. If you're too good to hang out in the kids' wing, you're not holy. If there are certain things beneath you, I question your holiness. One of the guys I admire in ministry, Mark Deaver, said he had young guys on staff that wanted to preach and they could memorize lots of theologies, but they were too busy to give people a ride to church. He says, you call yourself a pastor? You see, when we grow closer to God, we remove impurities, we're obeying the truth. It says we're going to love one another. It's the dominant phrase of the text. Not out of guilt, not of obligation, not out of show, but out of holiness, we're going to love one another and we're going to serve. And what has been amazing last few weeks, last several months, is God adding to our church family, bringing in more people, bringing in more kids. And as we grow, church family, to be honest, we've got to have more people to serve. And I'm never going to use this holy pulpit to guilt you. I'm not going to form this into a bully pulpit. We need more people to say, yes, I'm going to serve. I'm going to have real relationships. In the process of holiness, loving one another is a stage that we should mark. And I believe relationships and service mark a brotherly love from a sincere, earnest heart. Going back to 1 Peter chapter 1, let's go to verse 23. Since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God, how can we stay on track in our holiness on this journey of our faith? It's purifying our souls, it's through loving one another, and third, it's remembering who you are. Remembering who you are. So, that's the big problem of our current day and age. Like, who am I? And in some way, we're going to address that, whether the world labels it or God labels it. But he says, here's who you are. You're a believer. You're someone who's expressed faith. You, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, you are born again. Think of John chapter 3. Born not of the world, but born of water and of the Spirit. A new life has been brought to us by way of the Holy Spirit. He came and made us alive. And we are new persons now. This is who we are. We're different. Remember who you are. I don't know how many of you parents and grandparents have said that command to your young ones as they leave the house. Remember who you are. One of my mentors in ministry, Freddie Spears, he was a layperson. And so you say, well, this is a side note, for you to have an effect on younger believers, lay people had some of the greatest effects on me. He was a volunteer in our student ministry for a year or two. He was a student pastor. He is now in the medical field. And he was telling me, he said that phrase really bothered him. Because when he was in high school, he was a popular athlete. He had a lot of things going his way. And on the weekends, he was going to go out and have a little fun according to the world standards. And his father, before Freddie would leave, said, Freddie, remember who you are. And Freddie said, I would go to a house, and I'd want to be having fun. And he said, I couldn't. It's like, so that's how fathers do it. I'm going to use that for later. And he said, the premise was, his father was saying, Freddie, don't forget, you belong to us. You carry my name. You carry our family tradition. And Freddie said he could not go out and have fun according to the world standards because what his father said. Here's how you can stay on track in regards to holiness is remember who you are. You're a follower of God. You're born again. You're a part of a great kingdom that is not yet revealed. That's who we are. You say, why is this significant? I'm glad you asked. It's because we're changed in reality by the Word of God. We've been changed by the living and abiding Word of God that will never fail. Remember who you are in this life before we get to the promised land. Remember who you belong to. Remember who has changed you. Remember how you were brought to where you are through God's eternal Word. That will never come back void. It will accomplish its purpose, Isaiah says. We are heirs of grace. So not just consider your earthly family, think of your heavenly Father. Remember who you are. You are children of God. You've been redeemed. You've been ransomed from the enemy. We just celebrated Easter last week. And it's just a short time before we see our King. Remember who you are. Stay on track in holiness on this journey of faith. If you'll go back to the text, 1 Peter chapter 1, the final two verses that we looked at this morning. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever, and this word is the good news that was preached to you. How to stay on track, purifying your souls, loving one another, remembering who you are, and fourth and finally, considering what matters. How can you stay on track in your holiness? Considering what matters. The scripture tells us in these two verses, all flesh, all physical things is compared to grass. Grass withers, and the glory of the flower, it falls. This is a reference from Isaiah 40. Also, James chapter 1 in the New Testament refer to this. So anything physical in comparison to grass withers. It is temporary. All the flowers, all the beauty, all the glory, all the splendor will fall away. How can I describe this for Neosho? This weekend was garage sale weekend. You say, Pastor, don't talk about garage sales. Yeah, we're going to bring it up. We've got to talk about this as friends. Everything we bought is junk. You say, Pastor, you don't know that. I got a treasure. Okay, let me phrase it this way. That treasure you bought is junk. You say, Pastor, but I got a really good deal. Junk. It's going to waste away. Dr. Herschel York, who I admire in ministry, I'm stealing this from him. He said, any physical blessing, anything tangible that we can touch is a temporary blessing that has an expiration date on it. You say, Pastor, what I got this weekend, I will pass it down to my kids and my grandkids. It's still junk. Let's be honest. And now, hey, I'm not bashing garage sales, estate sales, and auctions. I love that. But it's all temporary stuff. It's things that don't matter. And it's interesting. I was telling my son, I was like, it's interesting how a garage sale, if there's one or two vehicles, everybody else swoops in because like, oh, they're getting all the good deals. We got to get there. We got to shop. They're going to beat us to what we're really looking for. We got to remember what matters. What you scored this weekend, what you added to your treasure trove, in the big scheme of eternity, does it matter? It doesn't. Scripture says anything physical compared to grass is temporary. That doesn't matter. In the big scheme of our journey, don't allow something temporary to be placed on the pedestal of eternity. That really matters. You say, well, Pastor, what lasts forever? God's word. That we're not going to add to, we're not going to take away. It's going to stay the same. It's going to be steadfast. It's going to remain forever. And Scripture says, Peter, talking to us about this word, he says, and by the way, that word that was preached to you changed you. The good news. The thing that lasts forever, that great treasure we inherited, we accepted, we believed in, we have. That's what matters forever. I'm not saying don't get stuff. I'm not saying don't enjoy some time here on earth. But what I am saying this, consider what really matters. Put it in its right place. Put it in the right priority. I wanted to give one supporting verse or passage of scripture for all four points. So what can encompass purifying your souls, loving one another, remembering who you are, considering what matters, I believe is found in Matthew chapter 25. Jesus speaking to his disciples shortly before he is arrested. It says this in Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer him, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Holiness is not just in terms of us loving God, separating from sin, pursuing his glory. It's also in terms of us loving one another, considering what matters, remembering who we are, and purifying our souls. Now, this message is meant for the believer. But maybe today you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never taken that commitment, that step of faith. Here's all you have to do. Is to make that truth in your heart reality. It's belief, faith, a holy conviction where you trust in Jesus, all that you are and all that he is. And you make that confession public. You tell someone you've made that decision. Make that a witness. Maybe there's other steps of the faith, like being a part of a community of faith, like we talked about last week at Easter. Maybe there's something going on in your life. You say, Pastor, this is something that is jammed in my journey, and it may hinder my holiness. I want to pray about it. By all means, if God is leading you to pray, pray with me, pray with someone else, even after the service, spend time and pray. Maybe you know of someone who needs encouragement. Maybe you're saying, well, I haven't seen so-and-so in a while. I would encourage you to call them, text them, go visit them, take them out for coffee. If you need a gift card for coffee, come by the office. We'll sponsor your time with coffee so you can have a relationship. Whatever it is, if God is leading you today, make that decision. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have instruction on how to stay on track. And Father, for those who are serving you and living the Christian life, Lord, I pray for them. I pray for us that we would stay on track. And Father, I pray we'd stay on track in holiness, removing things that don't matter, taking on the things that do. May we serve Jesus. Father, for those who have strayed, who have become passive, Lord, embolden them to pray. Embolden them to make a change in their life. And Father, if someone here or someone listening online has never trusted in Jesus Christ to begin that journey, I pray they do so with just a simple faith that comes from the heart. And Father, I pray for those with needs. I pray that this time that we could respond to your preached word, the word that doesn't change, the word that remains forever. Father, may we cherish that. Father, I pray that you bless our church. I pray that we become more holy. But Father, I pray we would express that through loving one another. And Father, through relationships and service, may you bless us. And Father, I pray that you continue to speak to hearts and Holy Spirit, however you want to lead with them, that is your call. And Father, we ask your blessings on our time before us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.